Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling.
All right. Hi, everybody. This is Kate, and I'm here today with my husband, Ben, to talk about the last 12 years of being together and knowing each other and God's faithfulness through a little over a decade.
Hello.
How do you feel being on a podcast? Is this your first time?
It's my first time.
Yeah, welcome. So, I don't have Jordan to say the intro or anything or the little jingle, although it's going through my head right now, so...
I'll just follow your lead since you're the veteran.
Okay, the veteran. Okay, so let's see. 12 years ago, so we were both 20, and I guess there's a little bit of backstory. So I'm originally from Springfield area in Illinois, and I came to Southern Illinois University for my bachelor's degree in dental hygiene. And so I committed to 4 years there, spent my freshman year there, didn't know Ben yet, didn't know he existed at all. And that brings us to my sophomore year. So catch us up to speed on where you were at.
Yeah, so I guess I moved to SIU in 2013. I did 2 years at community college and then moved to SIU to get my bachelor's degree in 2013. And that's where you and I met.
And you're a local.
Yes.
Pretty local.
Yep.
Yeah. So grew up on a family farm and local to the Southern Illinois area. So I guess the first time we ever met was we were both in college ministry, the same college ministry, and I had some freshmen in my car and one of them needed to be dropped off to go with him to this retreat in St. Louis. And so I just whipped into the parking lot at SIU and the person got out, got into his truck, and I thought, oh, that's a nice truck. And I think we just said hi, right? I think nothing. Yeah, just hi and okay, bye. And then...
Are you sure that's the first...
I'm pretty sure, right? Because that was in September of 2014.
I thought we met at fall retreat.
Yeah, we were on our way to fall retreat when I...
That was the same weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So very early into your time at SIU. But so we ended up there with probably 60 or 70 other people. And I don't really think we saw much of each other that whole weekend.
No, I think we, I don't think we really talked or knew each other.
And I was a small group leader and I had already been there for a year and knew a lot of people. And so I was kind of facilitating a lot of things. And
I learned your name that weekend.
Yeah.
It's about.
Yeah. I said, hi, bye. Nice to meet you. And then that was it, I think, until, or at least for me, that was it. I don't really remember seeing you until later on that year.
Yeah. I mean, we would see each other at large group occasionally.
Yeah.
Because we had there was a large group worship service on Thursday nights. And so we would, as acquaintances would see each other. But that was about it. It wasn't until the mission trip that we really got acquainted.
Yeah. So this was the main kicker that started it all.
That's where
we
became the mission trip.
Yeah. So we decided, both of us independently decided we were going to commit to going internationally on spring break to the Dominican Republic to share the gospel. And we were there to help build houses. But honestly, the locals were way better at that than we were. So, am I wrong?
No.
We shoveled a little bit of dirt and tried really hard to help.
Yeah, it was a short-term mission trip where we were building houses for members of a local church in a rural community in the Dominican Republic,
and our ministry had a long-term relationship with that village and that kind of thing. So that was neat, and so I had committed, and we both individually fundraised and didn't really know the other was going. And fast forward, there was a reason I wasn't going to be able to go, and it ended up providentially working out to where it was a last minute, hey, actually, I'm going to be able to go now. And yeah.
I guess I forgot about that.
Yeah. I don't really remember what all happened, but there was something with my plane ticket. And then one of the staff ended up not being able to go. And one of the girls texted one of the leader girls texted me and said, hey, actually, do you want to go? It's, you know, and we were leaving in, what, a week or something like that. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I do. I do want to go. And so we ended up on this. Well, I guess so we had to do.
You're not going to be on the trip.
Right.
And, yeah. Just providentially. Yeah. Just worked where.
And we ended up having multiple meetings with everybody that was going, just in preparation and prayer and all that. And so we did see each other there. And I remember thinking, he's pretty cute, but, you know, this is like, we're going on a mission trip. And so we're probably not going to talk much. And boy, could I have been more wrong.
We really did get to know each other.
No, we did. So we, I guess, fast forward to, we drove all the way to O'Hare. And I had somehow gotten your number. I was trying to be sneaky. And, oh, yeah, I grabbed it from the emergency contact list because it was obviously an emergency that I needed it.
You thought and you'd so be sneaky and take my...
I did. Because
I was one of the drivers on the trip.
So. Yeah, and I needed your number, obviously.
Contact.
Because I was not one of the drivers. Or was I? I don't know. No, I wasn't. So anyway, I definitely needed the number. And so we got up to O'Hare, which for us was a five-hour drive. And someone couldn't find their passport. And I sat on that O'Hare airport floor, that disgusting floor, and I prayed. I said, Lord Jesus, he is cute. Can you please help him find his passport so he can go on this trip with us?
I didn't forget my passport.
No. It was lost in your truck, wasn't it?
It was in my truck. So, yeah, when we got there, I don't know why it wasn't in my bag. There was a reason why it wasn't in my bag, but anyways, it got left in the truck. So
yeah.
We just had to run back to the truck and find it.
Yeah, but I was scared you were not going to be able to go on the trip.
Well, I wouldn't have made it through customs without the passport.
True.
So
anyway, then we were there. And I really don't remember the first, was our first interaction. We just spent a lot of the first few days on our different teams and we weren't together a whole lot.
Yeah, I remember kind of hitting it off with you on the trip and thinking, oh, she's cute and friendly and we seem like we have a lot in common. And so I would set up like little it's always awkward to try and flirt, especially on a mission trip or something. You never want to come across creepy, so I would set up like a little test, like, oh, I'm gonna go over here and see if she follows me over here, or maybe I'll go do this, and if she joins me and wants to talk to me over here, this might be a good sign. And so
I took the bait.
Take the bait. I mean, there was, I think one night I went up to the roof and I thought, oh, let's just see what happens if I go up here to this quiet part of the house. And you did. You followed me up there and we kind of got to know each other.
Everybody else also.
More intimately there on the roof when we were away from everybody and it's quiet. And
I remember like five people being on the roof with us and not really paying any attention. Because there were always, at nighttime, people would play, you know, ukulele and banjos and whatever else people had. We would sing worship songs together and then everybody would kind of go off and play little games or, you know, whatever. And so we ended up on the roof and there were other, you know, groups of people singing and stuff on the roof. And that was a really neat time. And we kind of, I remember thinking that your last name sounded good with my first name when you told me what it was. But anyway, so that was basically the trip. I remember you helping me in and out of the truck a lot. The back of the truck, and all of us were wearing skirts, the women, so we kind of needed assistance in and out.
What better way to be flirtatious than to be chivalric?
That's right. And then I guess on the last day, we had dinner all together and sat next to each other, and that was really the first time that we made like an actual effort to kind of, I think, sit next to each other. And what happened after that? We got home.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we got home early Sunday morning, and I remember we hung out almost immediately, almost like a date that was not really a date, but
and it was raining,
spending time together and getting to know each other further. And
we'd been awake for what, 30 hours or something, and ate McDonald's as our first meal back in the U.S., which is a horrible idea when you've eaten good food all week and then you eat McDonald's at 11 p.m. at O'Hare and you drive back. And we didn't really sleep because we went to the lake and chatted and it was raining. We were going on 30 hours of no sleep.
When you're 21, you can get away.
It doesn't matter. Who cares about gut health?
I think my 33-year-old self could take that now.
Nope. And then one of our friends pointed out, remember Brandon pointed out something, didn't he, to you?
Yeah, so I think it was Brandon, or we went out to eat at some point. I can't remember if it was that day or the next day, but I remember him making some kind of comment like, so it seems like there was some real chemistry between you and Caitlin. And I was like, yeah, I was just with her for a couple hours and we just hung out and talked and went and sat by the lake and talked to her for a while. And I, in a roundabout way, kind of told him, yeah, it's kind of already in the works.
And then, what, a week later, we were dating ish, a year or two.
I'm not sure how quick it happened. I feel like it was a couple of weeks.
Yeah, not too long. What? Oh, I remember our first date. That was a fun date.
Yeah, you can tell that story.
Okay, so you suggested, what did you want to do? Go to a movie and go eat somewhere.
Yeah, I suggested dinner and a movie because I'm really original like that.
And I said, we should just go to Barnes and Noble instead, because what better way to get to know each other than to watch what books interest the other person, you know? Because
Probably
you know,
not, right?
if they choose like really crappy books, then you got some things to talk about. But if they choose really good books, you also have things to talk about. So I remember you picked up a reformed book. I think maybe it was an R.C. Sproul book. And we were talking a little bit about reformed theology, and I was raised reformed. And you said, yeah, I'm on board with that. And I knew in that moment that you were it, because it was such a rare thing for me to find somebody that was like 20, 21 and not only committed to their faith, but believed the same things I did. Really more specific points, I guess.
Well, yeah, that there could open up a whole can of worms on its own there, the whole us being reformed together. I had been on quite a spiritual journey probably the 2 years prior to meeting you. I had started reading the Bible regularly every day for the first time in my life, and I was just coming to new theological convictions. And so, I don't know, just in God's timing and how he was doing a pretty major work in me at that time, and then brought you along in the perfect timing while all that was happening. And it was kind of providential that I even moved to SIU in the first place. I was planning on commuting. I was gonna work on the farm and drive down to Carbondale 2 or 3 or 4 days a week, or however many times I needed to do it. And I had a friend from high school that was graduating, and he had a 4-bedroom apartment that I just kind of fell into and decided last second to move down there instead of commuting every day. And I don't know that I ever would have met you without that. So
Yeah.
just in the Lord's providence and wisdom, it all just kind of lined up perfectly for me to be down there and be part of that student ministry and be on that mission trip
Yeah.
and meet you, and the rest is history.
And we talk about this several times a year when it comes up, or when you go to a friend's wedding or what have you, but we really just had the coolest group of friends, just most genuine, really fun, great student ministry experience, just a really, really genuine connection with like eight other people. And you were friends with the guys, and then obviously I was friends with the girls first. And then when we started dating, it was almost like all of the friendships kind of melded together. It was just
Merged.
a really cool,
Merged into
yeah.
like one group of like 10 or 12
Yeah.
people.
And we ended up actually going on a joint vacation. We rented a big beach house in Gulf Shores after Ben and some of our friends graduated. And the rest of us were, I think the rest of us were all juniors. Yeah, the rest of us were all juniors. And so when you and some of the other people had graduated, we all went on a huge, like a week-long beach vacation. It was so fun.
Still
So fun. And the girls all shared one bed, a ginormous California king, because we were like, this is a sleepover. This is amazing. Like, we had our own bath, big, huge bathroom. And the guys all had maybe three bedrooms and all refused to share a bed. And so, like, guys were sleeping on the floors in different places, like a couch, because none of the guys would just buckle up and share a bed, which still makes me laugh because us girls were four people deep in a California king, like snuggles and everything. It cracks me up.
No, guys don't exactly
No,
want to go on vacation and share a bed with another guy.
It's so true. But the four of us girls were like, this is great, a sleepover. And so super fun trip. And I feel like that didn't really have so much to do with our relationship, but it was just really fun to spend that time with our friends. And the Lord really gave us a gift in those friendships. And
yeah, because for a lot of people, college is a time where I don't know, just kind of get away from mom and dad and go wild for a couple years and indulge in whatever. And we just didn't have that experience because we had we had good friends and good ministry. And
yeah. And yeah, friends that really, really encouraged each other in the faith. And
yeah,
and we're still friends with those people today. And that's such a blessing. But so let's see. So we were dating, and really it was kind of interesting because I was texting another guy when we ended up on the trip together, and you were kind of over my shoulder at like kind of behind me when we got service again in the airport. And you told me later you were kind of discouraged because you saw that I was texting somebody else when we got back. And I ended up meeting up with that guy that day and saying, you know, sorry, we're done. Not that we were dating, but I had to let it move along. So anyway.
Get lost.
I have found my husband. So was there anything after, like, you know, else in college, really? I feel like the Lord just was really, really, really good to us, really sweet to us.
Yeah.
And gave us great.
You and I both knew pretty early on that we were going to get married, probably within a month or two.
Yeah.
We were pretty sure that we were going to get married, and it just kind of was openly talking about wedding stuff. And
yeah,
I had one other thing I was going to say, but it's escaped me. It'll probably come back around. My mind's like a lazy Susan. It'll probably come back around here.
We're recording this after the kids have gone to bed at 9:30 on a weeknight. And so our brains are a little muddled. It's late. So
9:30, really.
9:30, super late. For parents of a toddler and a baby, that is very late. So we got married. Really fun day. Yeah, really fun day. It's a good time.
It was.
Yeah. Loved it. A lot of people loved it. They told us afterwards it was just such a joyous day. I think there's just something super sweet about, I've always loved attending the weddings of believers. There's just so much joy. Just so much joy. And we've talked about that. Just the true joy of seeing believers get married. It just radiates, you know. So that was great. That was really fun. And then we moved into, your grandparents were so gracious to us, and they let us live in a rental property of theirs in the country for free.
Yeah, we
will never not be so grateful for that.
As I think through God's goodness and faithfulness to us, that grandma and grandpa, my grandma and grandpa are definitely a big part of that. My grandpa's like the embodiment of the Protestant work ethic. He was a farmer and worked hard his whole life to acquire land and equipment and properties, and then was extremely generous with that towards us and towards his other grandkids as well. My brother today still lives in one of the properties that grandma rents him and cuts him the grandson discount. And so, yeah, we lived in one of grandma and grandpa's trailers for what, 3 years?
Yeah,
after we,
about 3 years.
And you lived in the trailer for a while by yourself before we got married.
Yeah,
for what, 3-4 months, something like that, before the wedding.
Yeah.
and then we lived there together for 3 years until we moved to our current house.
And that was a really, really great time too, because we saved a lot of money. We had double incomes, and I was working on getting a master's degree, and so that was just a really sweet time. It was a blessing, and we were able to live in the country. And
that's, I mean, the trailer that we rented for the grandson discount is just the tip of the iceberg with their generosity to us.
Like, yes.
When I graduated college, I was completely broke. I didn't have enough money because there was an apartment that I lived in for, I think, like 9 months prior to getting married. And I didn't have enough money for the security deposit on the apartment. And so I remember grandma paying the security deposit for me to move into that apartment. And I think
I forgot about that.
The same time, she bought me a laptop for school because my laptop quit. And it was my senior year, and I needed a laptop to get through the end of the year. And so she bought me a laptop as well. And so, yeah, just they were so, so generous to us.
And that enabled us to just, I also have to shout out to both sets of our parents, because They're just the, also, in addition to your grandparents, you know, the four people who raised us were and are just the biggest blessings to us and our families.
For sure.
Our family.
And we're really the foundation of steering us to the Lord in the first place.
Yeah. Could not be more grateful.
Going all the way back.
For our parents. Yeah. And it's just really, it's so sweet to see the generational dividends of faithfulness in generations that have come before us, and to be encouraged for our own family, like the work that we're doing with our kids is eternal and makes an impact on earth and then makes an impact in eternity by the grace of God, despite our own failures. And so, so we were able to, so anyway, at this time I was being a boss babe. We were raised by stay-at-home moms and very hardworking dads who made it a priority for our moms to be home the majority of the time. And they both have had very part-time jobs, but were home and available to for us and our brothers the majority of the time. And that, I think, made a huge difference in, I don't know, stability for our families, I think, and for us and our brothers, too. And so me being a going down a boss babe trail was not really something that, I don't really know what happened to, you know, inspire that, I guess. But I was on a whole train. I got a master's degree and had no debt by the grace of God. Neither of us had college debt.
Well, and that was because of our parents.
Yeah.
Were
yes.
Generous.
So generous.
College.
And so then this kind of has a point, because it set us up to us realizing, you know, hey, I'm probably going to have this. I had a job at SIU at the time as a lecturer, and it was my full-time job. And so I was teaching full-time, and we thought, well, we're going to have kids probably in the next 2 years. We need to move closer. We lived an hour away from campus. And so that led us to moving quite close to campus in, if you can you call it a suburb of Carbondale? Anyway, yeah. And so we moved here. And honestly, that was super providential, too, because actually there's a lot that's providential there. So we had a good down payment. This house was not, I did not see it initially when we were looking, or I kind of pushed it off to the side because,
out of our price.
Yeah. And so we had looked at it kind of, but then we were like, well, you know, a little too expensive. So we ended up coming across it later. We were like, wow, this is going to be a tough, you know, like this felt like a chunk of money.
We expanded our housing search, and this property was just out of our price range. Mm-hmm. And then once we expanded our search, we came upon this house and kind of fell in love with it. We came and visited the previous owners, and they were Christians as well.
Mm-hmm. Raising two little boys.
Yeah, so kind, and just fell in love with this place. And we closed on the house in June of 2019.
Yep.
On a Thursday. And I found out the next day on a Friday that I was losing my job.
Yep.
And, you know, it sounds...
They were cutting his position.
It sounds not ideal, but if I had lost my job the day before we closed on the house, then it may have fallen through.
Mm-hmm.
We may not have got the loan. And
yeah. And so the Lord made sure we got the house, made sure we moved to the area, and
sure
then
I was unemployed after.
And then, okay, and I also have to mention, so the neighbors in front of us that are like a second away by foot are the absolute best, some of our very best friends, and they moved into the house in front of us. They finished building it a month or two later, and I immediately, as soon as I saw a car in that driveway, like bolted down there, and I was like, hi, we just moved back. I needed to introduce myself. And
neighbors had the reason we came to Christ Church.
Yes. And they first. Yeah, they found it first. Credit goes to them. Yeah. And now the Teals are the best. And we could, I could not ask for better neighbors.
Yeah. And
the biggest blessing in their family to us. God's been so good to us.
Absolutely. And going back to being unemployed when we moved into this house, and kind of tying this back into some of the things I said previously about generational faithfulness and my family being you know, faithful and generous through the generations. So I never really was without a job because we had the farm.
Right.
So, you know, because starting with, you know, grandpa and even his dad before him, we, you know, the family always had land, and my dad continued to be part of the farm and work hard. And so for that reason, I was never really without a job. I just went to work on the farm for several months while I was job searching. And we never really felt we did feel a financial crunch, but it was never dire.
Yeah.
We're always taken care of, and we always had enough. And
You know, the Lord has always, I know Jordan and Jared have talked about this too, but the Lord has always provided. And I have to expound on that, because he has just blessed and blessed and blessed us and provided and provided. And we have such good friendships at Christ Church. And a lot of, you know, some of our friends that we were friends with before ended up at Christ Church. And then we've made great friends in people we didn't know at all. And if we wouldn't have moved down here for a job when I was full-time at SIU, we might not have, I mean, we probably wouldn't have switched churches.
Yeah.
And so us switching churches also created a whole life change, because we ended up realizing that the path we were on as a couple was not the path that we ended up wanting as a, you know, for our family. So
meaning you working full
time. Correct. So like 2020 hit, and we, you know, things were happening, and we ended up, well, I guess we were still at our old church, and we ended up switching to Christ Church after 2020.
First off, we in 2020, let's see, we had been married four years, and we kind of bought into the whole, you know, don't have kids, just enjoy each other,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Or not don't have kids, but just wait.
Wait to have kids, right? Yeah.
And wait a while, you know? Yeah, wait a good long time.
And that's what we did.
Right. And
for better or worse, it was a fun time, sweet time.
Yeah.
Just you and I. But when 2020 hit, that really got the wheels turning, where, you know, we went through a Christmas where we didn't see our family because, you know, family members had COVID, and that it really started to dawn on us, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
No kids. We to make this life worthwhile, we've got to get going with mm-hmm. family. And
yeah. And I just remember
on to having children, and of course you have children and nobody's the same after they have kids.
No.
We just continue to evolve, and our convictions and what we wanted from our life, which, you know, eventually led to you quitting your job, and then that opens up a whole can of worms with my employment, because, you know, I didn't have a job good enough to support the family on one income. So, you know, we prayed about that. And
yeah, and I quit my job, and we did not have something lined up that would support us.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of a leap of faith. And
the Lord allowed me to be super miserable every single day when I went to work at my full-time job. I cried every day. And at the time, I thought, you know, people kept saying, it gets easier. And honestly, I think that's a lie. And people just tell themselves that so they can get through, because I don't know any mom out there that, like, feels 100% confident every day leaving her kids. It's such a hard, especially when they're babies, and like, it's just such a hard thing to leave your 3-month-old. You know, I don't know any mom that's ever been like, it was super easy to go back to work. I just don't know anybody that's been able to do that successfully without some tears. But the tears never stopped for me. And that was just the Lord allowing that. So I would quit. And I still work one day a week-ish, but that's significantly less than I was. So
yeah. And I think the practicality of you staying home, like, we were starting to realize that, just in very practical terms, the house was not going to survive.
No.
Without you being in it full time.
Yeah. Well, and I wasn't doing well, and we knew that. And, you know, we could tell that it wasn't benefiting Audrey for me to be gone all the time. And it also didn't help that I was working on a PhD at the time. And so that was a really hard season for us, because we knew we wanted to be parents, but I was still holding on to the whole boss babe, the whole idea that I needed to work full time and get every single degree. And I really enjoyed sinfully, I really enjoyed that, you know, recognition of like, wow, all these letters behind my name and look, I am so, like, it made me feel accomplished. And then it was interesting because the community that we ended up in, that we've been so blessed by, nobody cared, you know? Everybody was caring more about your, I was so used to telling people what my qualifications were, but nobody cared, you know, because everybody was concerned about your soul and like, and what, you know, when were you going to have kids and when were you going to enjoy the blessing of a family? And that really started changing things in my brain because I thought we're with people all the time that love their family, like love their kids. And we love our families, but, you know, it was one of those things where we hadn't really been around a bunch of people with little kids. And so it was so encouraging at Christ Church to see everyone genuinely loved being with their kids. And it's so, so neat to see, you know, didn't want to leave them and wanted to be with them and enjoyed them and genuinely believed that, you know, raising them was the greatest earthly calling you could do is raise disciples.
Yep. And to understand that that's always the way Christians have thought about families is that that's your legacy, that's your calling as a Christian husband or Christian wife is to raise up the next generation, teach them to follow the Lord. And largely that's how God's kingdom grows is through the discipleship of little ones in your household.
Don, so we took that leap of faith. You didn't have a job that was going to support us both. Yeah. And later, let's see, I guess 3 months later, you were really sick and you did an interview with another company that was going to give us benefits because we had lost mine. Or when I quit my job, we were losing my benefits. And you were really sick, but you got on the Zoom call anyway. And just providentially had the flu, so sick, fever, body aches, chills, somehow powered through the interview, got the job. And I was in tears for days over it because it was just confirmation of that we were doing the correct thing for our family. And the Lord provided, and that was a hard year. The Lord had provided a good job that provided for all of our needs, but you were gone a lot. You were gone weird hours. I was still, yeah, weekends. I was still struggling with
holidays.
I was still struggling a lot with, I hadn't given up my PhD, I don't think yet. Like, I was pretty close to the end and I was struggling with that and we were paying out of pocket for that. And that was kind of a struggle. And I was trying to figure out how to mother by myself, like do evenings by myself, do weekends by myself, holidays by myself, because you were at work. And so that was honestly, I think that was one of our roughest years.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord was providing and he was so good to us, but I feel like marriage-wise, that was a really tricky year for us.
It was a tricky year. And not to make it all about the job, because that was a big part of why we struggled that year, but it really was provision though, because it was in a lot of ways an answered prayer. And then, lo and behold, 14 months later, I got a different job.
Yeah.
With better hours and better pay. And
it was actually in your degree field.
Back in your degree field. Which I had been out of for a few years. And so, came full circle.
Yeah. And that job's been a huge blessing. And you travel some with that. So, you're gone maybe a week here, week there. Couple weeks, a month maybe, but the job that you had previous to that with the terrible hours actually enabled me in that hard year to be able to parent by myself for a week at a time. I grew in confidence and the Lord knew I was going to need that. And so he gently led me that year, even though it felt like we were going through a cheese grater, I think, marriage-wise. And it was just a rough year. But it prepared me, I think, so well for the weeks you travel with this job. And this job's a huge blessing. And he's just really, and he gave you something that is kind of your niche a little bit. And so that's been a huge blessing. And I did end up giving up I quit my PhD program really close to the end because it really felt like that was what the Lord was calling me to do. I didn't anticipate really using my PhD. And so we didn't want to spend the money and felt like the Lord was kind of a last, you know, I felt like the Lord was really calling me to give up that one last thing, to kind of come full circle and hold it all up to Him and say, here is my idol, I guess. Here's what I, you know, an old idol that I want, I'm done with. I can't do this anymore. And so that was, didn't really shed any tears over that. I thought I would. And that was one of the neatest moments. I think the Lord really brought me out of a really, really long season of just trying really hard to get a lot of degrees. And so anyway.
So that brings us to today, right? After almost 10 years of marriage and let's see, almost 12 years total of being together, or over 12 years.
Yeah.
Something
like that.
Yeah,
12 years in April.
12 years of being together. Mm-hmm. So we got two kids planning to homeschool.
I've learned to love the stay-at-home mom life.
Stay-at-home.
It's the Lord really did a work in our family and brought me to a place of just really, truly enjoying being home. And that was a process, I feel like. Not because I don't like our home and I don't like being at home, but I was used to being on the go a lot. And so being a mom slowed me down in a good way. Like, it made me realize what I guess is important and what's important for the kids.
We're doing family four or five times a night.
A night?
I'm sorry, a week. I'm tired. But yeah, doing family worship four or five times a week. And it's neat to see Audrey start to latch on to that. You know, she's going to be four this year. And it's neat to see her latch on to catechism questions and latch on to certain songs. And then occasionally something will come up in a sermon that she'll recognize from a Bible story or something and latch on to it. So it's neat to see that foundation being laid for what we hope is and pray is a lifelong walk with the Lord for her. And so that's been neat to see, and we can't wait to see how it further develops.
She really, I know I said this off the podcast, but she's really such a joyful little person.
Yeah, very happy, very social.
Yeah. Loves people. Just
people.
We were at the thrift store this morning, and a random gentleman we do not know was looking at her, kind of smiling because she was chattering away. And she looked at him and said, "Hello, my name is Audrey. What's your name?" And it was just the sweetest.
Yeah, and Oliver's 4 months old, but he's trending that way because he loves to grin at everybody. He'll just light up. He seems like the happiest little baby once we figured out his stomach issues and dietary issues that we struggled with for the first few weeks. Once we figured those out, he's just the happiest, smiliest little baby.
I was going to say, I think that's another thing that's been really cool to see as a family, as he grows our capacity for things and grows our faith in parenting. Like, there have been moments where it seems like, wow, that's a really hard circumstance, or that's a really hard thing to figure out, like what to do or how to discipline or how to address, you know, a question that she has, or maybe a little health thing. And he just has grown our faith, and I feel like brought us together as a couple in those ways where we're unsure. We're just praying and asking the Lord to guide us and thanking Him for His grace that covers our ineptness. Is that a word? Inept?
I don't know.
Being.
You're the one.
Being.
PhD.
Yeah, well, it's only an almost. That's why I don't know what the word is.
I just have
a bachelor's degree. Anyway, so, man, it's getting late. My brain's not braining. But yeah, super sweet kids. We love them to pieces. And it's crazy to think that we thought we were doing great without kids for a while, you know?
Yeah.
And I just didn't realize how much better my life could be with kids. So fun.
Yep.
And such a responsibility, but so, so fun.
Yeah. And I think you sent me a screenshot a post that Michael Foster had made a few weeks ago about how, you know, sometimes when you're in the golden years, every day doesn't feel like a golden year when you're running low on sleep and you're stressed and it's chaotic and it's noisy and you feel like you don't have a moment to yourself. But it really is the golden years. You know, the days go slow and the years go fast and you spin around, and Audrey's 4 years old and growing up, I realized the other day that she's 20% of the way to her driver's license.
Oh, no.
So, because she's
no,
she's almost four. So, but yeah, it's that post really challenged me to you know, even in the chaos and the sleeplessness and the tiredness, to slow down and enjoy it, because there really is so much to enjoy and so much fun to be had with the littles while you're training them and while they're learning how the world works, and to help them build that foundation that our parents did for us and their parents did for them, and to pass that on.
Yeah, and I think in a world that just seems to be so tumultuous, it's just really encouraging to be surrounded by so many people that are rooting for you, rooting for your marriage, rooting for your kids, rooting for a faith, or rooting for, I don't know where I was going with that, but rooting for a faithful family, I guess. I don't know. I had words, and the words are just not coming to me anymore. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's, I hear people talking off and on about how hard it is to find community, and I think that can be true, but I think it's really important to search for it and pray for it, because raising kids in a community that loves your family well and wants to see your kids have salvation in Christ and want to support you in supporting your kids,
yeah,
is just, it's amazing.
The church for our own, yeah, benefit. The Bible's clear about that the Lord gives that to us for us, for the body of believers, to encourage and equip each other.
I'm trying to think of anything else. I think that's pretty much it. I mean,
yeah, that's our
heat.
That's our
so far
Wednesday, yeah, inspired 12 years in love story.
Yeah. So to kind of tie a bow on everything, it's been encouraging to look back at the last 12 years and also reflect on the way that we were raised and just see the Lord's hand in all of it and his faithfulness. The believer's life is hallmarked by continuous faithfulness from the Lord. And it's just been encouraging to sit down and talk about our story and the way that the Lord is faithful in all believers' lives, even in the, when things don't really seem clear. And we were talking the other day, even there was a something you realized, like why something happened, and it's been 15 years and you realized the why just last week. And the Lord is just faithful to bring us through things, even when we don't know why things are happening. We may not ever get that answer, but then sometimes he does allow us a glimpse into the why. And I think it's just encouraging to reflect back on that and know that he's going to be faithful in all of the tough times. To see the way that he's been faithful, it just kind of gives you that stamina for the next time things get hard or you're unsure.
Yeah. Yep. It's good to sit down and remember and just say the things out loud that the Lord has done. You know, God commands Israel multiple times to remember what he's done. And there's several reasons for that. One, it's worship. History is worship. I think I heard Andrew Isker say that recently, and he's so right. Just remembering all the times he's been faithful and all the miracles that he's done. And another reason for that is it really puts steel in your spine in those hard times. You know, when you feel like you've been in the desert for 40 years, it's good to look back and remember the Red Sea. You know, I think back to, you know, anytime I go through a rough patch, I just think, I had Christian parents, you know, mm-hmm. Like so many people in today's world don't have parents that take faith seriously. And yeah, then their life kind of, you know, we tend to follow what our parents do. And, you know, they end up not having a faith that they own. And we didn't have that. We had parents that gave us a foundation and gave us a springboard, and just little simple acts of obedience like that. We can look back and say, wow, God was doing a big work there in a little simple act of obedience.
Yeah. And if this, you know, not everyone has the same story, so our testimonies are quite a bit different than other people's. And I think it's also encouraging to hear stories of people that weren't raised. It's, you know, alternatively, really encouraging to hear stories of people who weren't raised by Christian parents, because the Lord works in totally different ways in their lives to bring them to faith, and also have those small acts of obedience in their own family where they are the beginning of the Christian faith in their their kids' lives. So it's also really encouraging to just hear everyone's love story. Just love a good love story.
We love love.
We do. So I guess, is that it?
Guess so. That's all I've got.
All right.